We do have a few prayer requests this morning. Pray for the family and friends of Del Roark. He went to his heavenly home Thursday night. And then pray for Chris Carnahan and wife Denise. He is going inpatient for his last round of Red Devil chemo this morning. Pray for side effects and that it targets and shrinks the cancer. Minimum side effects and it targets and shrinks the cancer. He will have a scan next week to see if it has been effective. And then Mignon asks us to pray for all those who are battling with infirmities. And then my sweet mama. I love you, mama. I love my mama. She's my mom.
I love your mama, too.
She's so cool. I love my mom. She asks us to pray for my brother, Thomas James Prater, Jr. He's having procedure on his eyes tomorrow. He's going to get his peepers.
All right, let's pray again. Lord, we come to you once again, this time with our petitions. Start with Dale Roark and his family. And Lord, we just ask for comfort, peace that goes beyond understanding. And if anyone does not know you, that this time will call them, profess you, and know the certainty of life ever after. And Lord, we're praying for Chris and Denise. Evidently, there's a whole bunch of chemo and cancer and stuff going on and side effects from all that. And I don't know all of it, but anytime cancer's involved, Lord, we just ask for your help and healing and for people to get through the pain and for people not to have all the side effects that come. But Lord, we just want to see your hand in all this. We want to have a testimony at the end. So be with Chris and Denise as he goes through these trials, this healing, but obviously a difficult one. And Lord, give him a testimony as what you have done in his life. And we come to Minion, who asks us to pray for everyone battling with infirmities. And Lord, you know, in Burns Flat, we got a pretty long prayer list. There are people battling things, and everywhere it's a blessing to get kind of old, but kind of sometimes there's a lot of pain and a lot of debilitation that comes with us. So Lord, in all of our pain and all of our infirmities and all of these things, help us to see you and thank you even in our trials. And Lord, if it's your will to heal us in this body, please do it and give people a testimony. Lord, we know we're already healed. For all eternity we're healed, but so many are hurting, so many need things fixed. And I know so many in the congregation back in Burns Flat that are having operations or second operations and so many things. Lord, be with the doctors. Guide their hands and let us all see your hand in the healing to come. And we pray for Thomas Prater Jr., that his eyes be restored, that he can see, that everything goes well in the surgery. And we pray for Monica's mom, that you bless her and keep her and Lord, just assure her that everything's well and how much you love her as she goes out and about doing your work. All these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church. The address is 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. She'll bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Tom Spence. His title, One Return to Give Thanks.
Well, we kind of wrapped that one up, so I'm going to jump over to Matthew 25 now. There's three parables in there. I preached the parable of the talents a whole bunch, but I'm going to do the one after that now, and I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I'm going to kind of get down to the good part here. Matthew 25, 31 to 46, listen for God's word. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." We know the parable before. It's a parable of the talents. I preach it a whole bunch. Everyone likes to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In fact, I probably preach that 2 or 4, 10 times a year. I don't know. It's my favorite parable. A whole bunch in there. But we long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But between those words and the scripture I just read now, there's some other stuff in there we have to pay attention to. The third servant who buried his talent in the ground, and we get to see, so take the talent away from that wicked, lazy servant, give it to the one who has 10, okay? You know, whatever he has, he'll have an abundance. The one that didn't do anything with it, he's not going to get to keep it. We get to see the proverb, I think it was at 13:22, says the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous, played out in the parable. We also see in the parable I just read, the part before it, is there's a sorting going on. Sheep and goats is the metaphor. We think that's probably the righteous and the wicked, okay, or something along those lines. And we also see that there is a whole bunch of people that went out and saw people in need, didn't do anything, saw someone that was hungry, didn't feed them, saw someone that was in the hospital, and was like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, and we saw that part, and it doesn't turn out too good for them. Okay, there's eternal life, and like eternal destruction, eternal life without God. You know, there's going to be a separation, and that's the metaphor. There's going to be a sorting. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in the sorting, I read the part that's the good part, okay? But there's some stuff in there, and who's he talking about? Well, I think he's not talking about the ignorant. I think he's talking about people who knew better, the ones that should have known to help that person, okay? Instead of ignoring them, turning a blind eye, or walking on the other side of the road, like in the Good Samaritan, the people who should have known to help were too busy, okay? There's too many things going on. They smell bad. They look bad. I got places to go and things to do is more of our excuse today. We're busy. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to help. So there's this other dynamic going on there. And sometimes it seems we take life, as I mentioned before, nothing more than a series of problems to be solved. And there's more to life. And we who should know and we who do know need to do something different than the rest of the world. There's a guy that's hurting. Let's help him. Doesn't mean I'm going to go pay all his bills and set him up in a mansion. No, that's not our deal. But he's hurting, okay? Might need a hug. Might need a basket of food. Might need a ride somewhere. Might need a shower, okay? You don't, we don't know, but are we going to do anything about it, or are we just going to say, yeah, whatever. Okay, good luck, buddy. And we're counseled against that. And in this parable, we kind of see the parables are about disciples saying, what happens at the end of the age? And so Jesus gives these three parables. And at the end of the age, there will be a sorting. Some of you did what you knew to do, and some of you didn't do that. Now, will it, you know, if you're saved, I think we're just probably a loss of rewards, a loss of blessing and those things. If you're saved, it'll be kind of like the one escaping from the fire, as Paul would say. You got nothing to bring with you, but you made it. Okay, so Jesus, if you're saved in the blood of Jesus, that's one thing. There'll be some people think, well, I've done a lot of good. Maybe I must be ready for heaven. There are some people out there that think, I've earned this heaven stuff. I'm going to be in for a pretty big surprise. Mm-hmm. Okay, shouldn't be a big surprise because we're supposed to tell them otherwise, but there's some people aren't listening, and I get that. But there's going to be a sorting at the end. That's the purpose of this parable, and we just want to be in the latter group. Mm-hmm. That's not a true statement. We are in the latter group. We didn't do anything to get there, but we are in the latter group. So what are we going to do about it? How are we going to do something different? How are we going to live up to this right standing we've been given in the blood of Jesus? You know, it's been given to us. But are we going to do things differently than the rest of the world? Are we going to look and say, what would it take for me to take a gallon of milk over there to them? What would it take to go run up the church building and get a bucket of food? You know, what would it take to give them $5 for gas so they get home? What would it take to do these little things? Probably less than we think it does. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, it's my time. My time's valuable. Of course your time's valuable. Okay, but Jesus wants you to do valuable things with your valuable time. And what's more valuable than showing love to another person, being known by your love? So now I've said it before at Burns Flat, and I think I got the other churches kind of going along with me. We broke the vending machine. There's no more form in, food out. There's no more transactional stuff. You get this for that. Because people just say, where's the free stuff? I want the free stuff. Well, I'd like to talk to you about God, but I don't have time for that. We want the free stuff. It's like, okay, there is some free stuff. It's called salvation. That's what I want to talk to you about. You know, that food's going to be gone in a week, okay? If we're feeding stomachs and not feeding the spirit and the soul, it's just temporary measure. Mm-hmm. So we don't do the vending machine stuff, but we don't want to become callous. That's the tough thing, and that's why we've been given this sound mind. That's why we can be discerning and go out and say, okay, person needs some food. Let me give them some food. I'm going to tell you at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Burns Flat, America, we're not going to run out of food. Every time I think, oh, we might only have a couple months of food left, and someone will show up and say, hey, we just had this food drive. Here you go. People who don't worship anywhere, I don't know if they even believe in God, stop and give us food. And it used to be because they cleaned out their pantry and were fixing to move, and it was 1997. Oh, that's a cool. Not anymore. They said, I just went and bought this. Mm-hmm. I was shopping, and thought I'd get some, and they dropped it there, and I'm guessing they probably know God. They don't worship with us. I don't know if they worship anywhere. But something inside of them said, I'm supposed to be compassionate with other believers. And they know if they bring it to us, we'll get it to other people. We're not going to run out of food. So we never want to be callous. Okay, we'll always give people food. We want to make sure, though, that we deliver it with the message that lasts. And that's our challenge. That's a struggle. I'm going to tell you, it was probably been 10, 12 years ago now. I was sitting in my office. Our food pantry was kind of down pretty low. We don't really run a pantry where people show up at certain times. We have food if people are hungry and we feed them. But it was getting kind of low, and this ratty looking car, I mean, it's like, I didn't have to drive that when I was going to college and had zero money. Actually, I had negative money probably, if there was such a thing. Well, now it's called debt. I didn't have enough money to be able to get into debt. But right. It was like, I had a baling wire and duct tape car, literally. And the electric windows that froze down in the winter. And so it was... Yeah, it was a character-building car. We'll call it that. And this guy pulls up, and I'm thinking, here's one of those character-building cars, and it's worse than the one I had. I'm thinking, do we have enough food? The guy came in and said, I just got a job at Bar S. They gave me great discounts. Can I donate some hams and meat and other things? Yeah. Wow. Good. I was hoping I'd be able to bless someone. He's like, okay, Tom, you stop judging people by the way their car looks. He said, it's like, God lets you through your college years in those cars. And, you know, quit judging people. And he's like, okay, we've never run out of food. But we don't want to be callous. We don't want to be a vending machine. We don't want to be transactional. We want to be transformational. We want to lead people to one who can transform their lives. The whole metamorphosis thing we see in Romans 12, you know, be transformed, renewing of your mind, all those things. We come to Jesus, and you know, they're not following us. they're following Jesus with us is what we want. We want to be walking side by side, brothers and sisters. That's the whole deal. But we don't want to become callous. And so that's our balancing act. We're not just giving away free stuff, because that's just basically we're not growing. You know, when Paul said speak the truth in a spirit of love, he was talking to believers. So you need to be mature enough. You can be truthful with people as you deal with them. That's a measure not of them, but of your maturity. Mm. So we're supposed to be mature enough to say, okay, here's some food. What's really important will last beyond this food. It's living water. It's the bread of life. It's the metaphors we use for that's Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't want to hear it, but every time we deliver food, we can't just say, get your food and go, are you four times with you, forget it. No, we keep on delivering because God desires none to perish, and that's our commission. So we never want to become callous. So in the course of doing a whole bunch of food in November, and we do a whole bunch of food in November, we do a whole bunch year-round, but November is kind of food month. It's coming in, it's going out. Then we, this week or into December, I'll be putting together baskets for, we bless a few families that we're connected with. We give out food to anyone all year round. Be doing more food and more things like that. And people in and out of the missions rooms, and I've told people, if you know a family's hungry and you don't have anything to give them, just come to the church building. Go back in the food pantry. I've got these set up for like a family of four and extra stuff to add or whatever, and little notes. If we had something left over from a meal that's still good, stuff like that, look in the freezer and this. And we try to help a lot of people with food and a message life. So there'll be a lot of people in and out. And I've challenged people, you know, you don't have to wait till you can tell me. Okay, you don't need the pastor's permission to love one another. Jesus gave you permission to do that full time. So I put a short little prayer in the missions room by the food, and it goes like this. Lord, help us to have eyes to see those who are hungry and prompt us to feed them. Pretty simple. Lord, help us to have eyes to see those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, bring them to you. Lord, help us to deliver good news with every basket of food. And Lord, help us to be your love in action. Just something short and sweet that says, it's all about you, Lord, and I know what my commission is. I know what I'm supposed to do. Got the food to do it, to get us started, to start the conversation. But let me have the conversation. Let me go ahead and do that. And, we get through to a lot of families enough to get their kids. We're still working with the parents. The parents are the challenge because they are, I say, the pagan gods of this age are apathy and ambivalence. People, one god's as good as another. Get the whole thing on the different symbols on the back of the car. It says coexist. Everybody's the same. It's like, here's a message of truth. I want you to hear first. You know, we get that. And then there's apathy. I just don't care. And those are the tough ones in the parents. And I've talked to a lot of them. I said, you know, there's a difference between sending your children into the church building and leading them in. If you lead them in, they know it's important to you. If you send them in, it's like, okay, they send me to school, they send me to daycare, they send me here, they send me there. School's a good thing, yeah. But if you lead me in, I know it's important to you. Yeah, in the Marine Corps, being an officer, three words you had to be able to give, it was take the hill. Go do this difficult mission. And they should always be followed by two more words, follow me. Words of Jesus, it's also words of the Marine Corps, words of the infantry. Follow me. People know it's important if you're leading them. And so I have these conversations, and they're tough ones sometimes. People don't want to hear it. And it's like, you know, can I listen and back up three steps at a time with each word or something? It's different if you lead your children to God than sending them. And that's sometimes they call me the mean guy around Burns Flat because I do speak the truth sometimes. Disclaimer, I will say I was accused of being tactful twice in my life, but I was acquitted on both counts. So sometimes I was never trained to sugarcoat. But if you don't sugarcoat but you're condemning, that's not good. If you sugarcoat and you don't speak the truth, that's called hypocrisy. So we are equipped with a sound mind to have the tough conversation. So as we give out food, as we give rides, as you help someone with a bill, as you do different things that you help people, especially at this time of the year, people are more willing to ask. People search more. I know the Family Care Center, people search year-round for something. We need to be willing to have the tough conversations and say, here's the real thing in life. Okay? It's seeking God, His kingdom, His righteousness, and we get there through Jesus and have that conversation. And, yeah, I know your kids come, yep. And you kind of like say, well, I sent someone. Do I get credit for that? It's like, yeah, okay. It's in S&H green stamps, you know, where you get a big old stamp you can put in there. There is a big difference between saying follow me and saying go there. Yeah, go do that or follow me. So that's the challenge, and I like to put that out there. I put this little prayer up there in the missions room so we think about that. Okay, let me never be callous. And that's, I've asked my congregation to pray for me. Said, don't ever let me become cynical. I'm a little sarcastic to begin with. I'm a little dry. Actually, I'm not. I'm kind of arid. But don't ever let me be cynical. Don't ever let me have an encounter with a person where I'm not willing to broach the subject of the goodness of God, the love of God, and how you can know that love and bring up Jesus Christ. It may take several conversations. That's fine. I'm willing to have those. But we can never grow cynical and say people heard it. They're lost. Okay, we're not allowed to give up on them. We have to keep delivering the message, mm-hmm. Even though there are some I'd rather deliver a headlock to because they're just so hard-headed. And it's like, you know, I could fit them in five or six in the dumpster and be done for this year. But no, that's pastor doesn't get to. I've asked the session if they would put that in the insurance policy that I get to, you know, headlock three or four a year. And I think we'd get good results. I don't know. No, it's 2023. I'm being funny. That was not serious. Okay. We have to have the tough conversations. And that's a mark of our maturity. Speak the truth in love. Paul's writing that, and he's saying this is a mark of your maturity, not of who you're talking to, but of who you are. Can you have the tough conversation? And I think we need to do that. So I post this little poem, or prayer, poetic prayer, I guess. We see a lot of poetic prayers in the Bible. I thought, I'll write my own. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, not as good as the one David wrote, or the 200 David wrote, but it's okay.
I think that's a good reminder.
Well, it's like posted that. Right by our food.
Yeah.
And as I close here, I want to say this as our actual closing prayer. But we need to remember, Jesus says, I see your love, I see your faith, I see what you're supposed to be doing and what you do with the least of these. Okay? And that includes speaking the truth. Not just giving them food and say, here's your food, get on your way, see you in a year. Here's some food. It comes with love from God's people. I want you to know that relationship. And so we need to be able to have the difficult conversations because we are growing, we are maturing as believers. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to close up here and say this prayer as our closing prayer.
I forgot to ask you if you had any announcements you want to make for your church. Back.
Other than the fact their pastor was voted best looking in the universe. No, that wasn't it. Where did that come? That wasn't in my notes. Well, we've kind of wrapped up our Thanksgiving stuff, and we've got some families we're helping for Christmas time. I will make one announcement. If you're in Burns Flat or Deal City and you're hungry, you don't have to say, can I sign up for this? Hungry, come see me. I'm going to get you some food and feed you. You're going to hear about Jesus Christ. You're going to be challenged to come and worship him, not to forsake the gathering. Okay, that's the price you got to pay. But actually, it's kind of like when Jesus speaks the truth to you. It's like, this sounds kind of tough, but it'd be good if I did what he said. Put his words into practice. So Tom's not going to make up his own stuff. He's not going to put you in a headlock. He will give you the words of Jesus. We have that. We've got not too much in December. December I call a sanity month for, as far as events. We kind of catch our breath. I got to give the teachers, Wednesday night teachers, a break. Otherwise, you wear them out. I will announce that we did change our format. We're going to continue in January with no meal on Wednesday nights. Just come to worship, come to learn. And I thought we'll probably lose a bunch, but we got to do this, and we didn't lose many. And I was like, yes, they're coming for the right reason. Now at the end of everything, we give them a snack to go home with so no one goes hungry. And no one can go hungry in Burns Flat if they'll come see us. But it's like they want real food, and they're coming for real food. And we've been blessed that right now we've got a huge junior high group, a small senior high, but a huge junior high group, and enough adult leaders, teachers, to break into small groups and kind of do the camp thing. Where you go into small groups and talk about real things. It's like, okay, we were struggling with this for a while, and all of a sudden we said, let's just draw near to God. And that's what our challenge has been for the fall. It will be for the spring. Draw near to God. Let him draw near to you. And it's happening. And I've got a smile on my face that it's happening. So as far as events and things, I know no events. 9 and 11 for worship on Sundays, 10 for Sunday school. Christian education, it's not just Sunday school. Sometimes that's for the kids. No, it's for everybody. Mm-hmm. All ages. And We'll resume our Wednesdays in the middle of January. Got all the teachers on break. Now, I do have a couple other things I'll do. We have a deal that just a one-pot meal that I cook, and we'll go decorate the church and those sort of things that we don't get a lot of people from the outside coming in. But we need some time just to enjoy each other every once in a while, get renewed, revived, to go back and lead the people that will come Wednesday nights. And hopefully they're coming hungry again for the Word of God. But, yeah, we got a bunch going on, but not a lot of scheduled events right now. So we're, let me see. Usually it'll come to me what I need to announce. Probably it'll come Wednesday afternoon this week. I'll give you a call maybe or an email. So no, nothing to announce right now. But I do want to close with this prayer.
Okay.
All right. Father God, we come before you once again. Hear our prayer. Lord, help us to have eyes to see those who are hungry and prompt us to feed them. Lord, help us to have eyes to see those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and bring them to you. Lord, help us to deliver good news with every basket of food. Lord, help us to be your love in action. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate you coming, taking time out of your day to come share with us. Mm-hmm. It's always good to see you. You always bring a good word.
May stop by Walmart and shoot a turkey on the way home.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Tom Spence, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.